Welcome to the Audio Conferencing Center. Please enter a conference ID. If you're the leader, please press star. If you scheduled this meeting, please enter your PIN now. You are now joining the meeting as a leader.
Good morning. This is Hearing Examiner Ryan Dansel. Who do I have on the line?
Good morning.
Okay.
Good morning. This is Dale Johnson on behalf of the City of Seattle.
All right. Thank you. We may be joined by others that are parties to the matter, but they're not crucial that they be here to participate. They're just allowed as parties to the consolidated matter. And thank you both for accommodating this short notice to address the motion. The hearing examiner is going to be out of the office for the next week or so. So I wanted to make sure I had an opportunity to hear this and give an oral ruling. I will do a written decision, assuming I can make an oral ruling today, later, so that we have that for the record. But I'm hoping that we can have this addressed. If I could hear from, I'd like to just give the parties a few minutes. I've had an opportunity to review the briefing, but it's coming in at a busy time, so anything you want to add to make sure that I'm clear on the arguments being raised, I'd appreciate that. If I could, I won't put a time limit on the parties, but let's try to keep this clear and concise. And so I'll give each party an opportunity to state their case, and then also an opportunity for response. We'll start with the appellant.
Thank you, Mr. Dansel. Thank you for agreeing to do this so quickly. Did you, if I can, have the opportunity to review the reply that was sent in this morning?
I have scanned the reply. I would not be able to quote from it at this point.
Agreeable to that, and that's what we and the city filed its motion for dismissal of certain of Urbana Commons issues. And we responded to that really, I mean, said it was Rule 56, but they cited the hearing examiner rule, which is 3.02, which talks about it on its face, which is really a 12b6 motion. So we laid out what in our response to the motion to dismiss, that this was a civil rule 12b6 motion, really, with respect to rest of Urbana Commons issues and the notice of appeal. The city then replied 2 days before I was about to take Ms. Stokes' deposition. No, it's really a civil rule 56 motion. And I got, I just thought, if that's what it really is, then I'm putting the client at risk here, that this could be ruled on the 56, Rule 56 motion, even though there's no evidence from the city that would say it was a Rule 56 motion. And since I had a deposition coming up within 2 days, I wanted to take that testimony because I was pretty sure it would cover some of the issues that I raised in averments, which is what you do under Civil Rule 12b6, but I didn't know. So that's why you have this motion in front of you. And in fact, it's our belief that such deposition certainly goes to the core of some of Suburbana's issues, because one of the claims, essentially, one of the issues is that the city did not have adequate information in the DIS regarding structures of potential historic significance. And indeed, that was, we found, and I have an awesome proof to that effect, when I took the deposition. So all I want to do is get into the record what it was that's relevant that Ms. Stokes stated. And I cited Civil Rule 56F, the interest of justice. This is something I didn't know. We didn't have the information at the time that the city's motion to dismiss was filed. And I certainly didn't expect when the city filed its reply that it was still going to rely on Rule 56 after I had totally discussed the application of Civil Rule 12b6 to its motion. The summary.
Okay. I may have some questions for you, but I'd like to hear from the city first.
Thank you. This is Dale Johnson again on behalf of the city. Well, this is perplexing to say the least. The relief requested in the motion filed by Friends of Urbana Cowan asks to grant a continuance to supplement a response to the city's motion to dismiss. And it didn't ask for clarification regarding what the rule basis was for the city's motion as it relates to Friends of Urbana Cowan. So the city was only able to respond to this motion based on what was on the face of the moving papers. And so what we did was we've addressed why it would be inappropriate to grant the motion to supplement the response. And I think the key part of that is it relates to what Ms. Benich said at the close of her remarks, which was that the deposition testimony of Ms. Soap goes to the core issues relating to the historic resources issues that were identified in Friends of Urbana Cowan's notice of appeal. And the key point here is that when the city carefully assessed all of the appellant's notices of appeal and determined which specific motions to move to dismiss on, it identified specific issues, including those that are raised in the instant motion, specifically
what Ms. Bennett just said would relate to her issues 3 and 4. That one, in the first instance, the EEIS inadequately identifies buildings of historic significance. So that's one issue that's the subject of this motion. When the city filed this motion to dismiss, it did not move to dismiss that issue. So that issue is not on the table, and it therefore would be inappropriate to supplement the briefing with facts related to that issue. Secondly, the city did not provide an adequate study of the impact on buildings and areas of historic significance. Again, that the city has not moved to dismiss that issue and concluded that that's an issue that needs to go to hearing. Therefore, it would be inappropriate to supplement briefing from Ms. Soak's deposition with regard to that issue, because it's not on the table, so to speak, as between Prince of Verbena, Cowan, and the city. And finally, the third issue is that the proposed mitigation was inadequate. Now, the city has moved to dismiss the mitigation issue, and it makes clear in both its motion to dismiss and in its reply brief that its motion with regard to the mitigation issue is based on Hearing Examiner Rule 3.02 and, to the extent necessary, the analogous Rule 12b-6 under the civil rules. And it couldn't be clearer in that regard. And I understand that the examiner has pored over the various briefs that have been filed related to the city's motion, but I would direct your attention to the city's discussion of this in our reply, beginning on page 2. And if I could just briefly state what we've said there and have repeated here, and that quote, "With only one exception, the city's arguments do not depend on supporting facts beyond those contained in the appellant's notices of appeal. They are purely legal arguments about the scope of the examiner's review and authority to address the claims raised in appellant's issues that can be decided as a matter of law. For those issues, there are no conceivable facts in the notices of appeal that would entitle appellants to relief." And then we cite to the hearing examiner Rule 302 and Rule 12b-6, and then state that the only argument for which the city has offered supporting and uncontested facts relates to the city's choice of alternatives. The alternatives arguments are not arguments that are the subject of the city's motion as to the Friends of Ravenna Cowan. I essentially repeated this in my response to this most recent motion. So I'm not sure why we're here. And I don't think the city could be more clear on these points. There's some background noise, but I would just leave it there and entertain any questions that you might have. I guess the only last point I would make is that at no time did the city respond that on the issues germane to Friends of Ravenna Cowan that this was a Rule 56 motion. That issue, the only issues that cross that line relate to alternatives challenges, and those challenges, again, don't affect the Friends of Ravenna Cowan. So I would just, entertain any questions the examiner might have.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Yes, Ms. Vandage.
Well, I certainly didn't understand the city's motion to dismiss the way that Mr. Johnson is saying it. I understood it to dismiss issues 3 and 4.
And which issues are those? I don't know your issues by numbers.
Those are the ones that have to do with the inadequacy of the EIS to address historic structures and things that were potential historic
Mm-hmm.
in the EIS.
Mm-hmm.
And there was nothing in the city's motion. limited only to the mitigation issue, and the rest of those issues should stand. There's nothing that says that. Well, that's why I felt compelled to bring it.
Okay. If everything is in accordance with, as Mr. Johnson has indicated, is there any remaining issue?
If it is solely on the mitigation issue and it doesn't take us, and it does not seek to dismiss issues 3 and 4 in toto, then no, but that's not, I'm not hearing that because they equivocated here. It says in part, and I don't know which part they are referring to. It says these issues, this is in its response, these issues, parentheses, or parts of issues can be under HER 3.02. So that leads me to believe that there's some other part that's under Civil Rule 56. And that's not clarified here. I just don't want to be faced with this down the road on May 31 that all of a sudden I'm looking at a Civil Rule 56 motion in toto.
Right, and I understand the confusion around that. Sometimes the city's rules are less than clear, and I often find motions being brought that are headed summary judgment but in fact are 12B6. Mr. Johnson, I believe you've addressed that. Is there anything else you would say?
I would just like to clarify. There's no equivocation here. The reference to parts of issues relates, and again, I would invite the hearing examiner and opposing counsel to read the reply brief. It's in our reply brief. Where we address this issue of how we have to go about moving to dismiss parts of issues. And what's interesting is that this was brought about by, and that discussion is on pages 4 and 5 of our reply brief, the need to address, to make that point was brought about by the responses of the appellants, including friends of Ravenna Cowan, who suggested that portions of its issues are subject to the city's motion because the appellant sought to advance broader issues. In other words, we may have characterized their issue in a way that they didn't agree with. So our point was, okay, but what we are moving or not moving on relates to the specific things we're discussing. And I think as to the point that Ms. Bennett raises about what we're not seeking to dismiss, I mean, when you file a motion to dismiss, if you're not seeking to dismiss something, you don't address it. You only identify those issues that you are seeking to dismiss. And we are now on record in response to this motion and in our reply of being very clear about what relates to historic resources we're moving to dismiss on and what we're not moving to dismiss on. So where that leaves us is a situation where through the deposition of Ms. Soat, friends of Ravenna Cowan may have identified her as a witness that they want to call. She's not a city witness that's been identified, but they may want to call her at the hearing to explore her testimony, present her testimonial evidence in support of their case. And that's fine, but we're going to end up on...
So let me stop you there, Mr. Johnson. Segue from where you're at. As I understand it from the motions and the motion briefing that I've received so far and the additional argument today is that there's lack of clarity between the parties as to what issues are being raised originally and the scope of those to be addressed in the motions to dismiss. I believe that clarity has been provided through the response briefs here, in the responsive briefs in the motion and in argument today. Under that characterization, what I will do is deny the motion as there isn't necessarily a need for it as the arguments have been characterized here today. What I will do, however, and I know that part of this is due to, as Mr. Johnson alluded to, a significant motion practice for this hearing. There's a lot going back and forth, and so the details can get muddied at times. What I will allow is for friends of Ravenna Cohen to raise this issue again if the characterization, as it's been presented in the briefing and in argument today, changes. Later during our oral argument, I believe it's on the 31st, for the actual motion. And I do want to make sure that they're not prohibited from providing, even at a later date, relevant evidence. But what I'm not hearing is that's absolutely that's actually necessary or relevant at this time. If that changes, I'd reconsider this issue at that time. Are there questions about what the hearing examiner stated at this point?
No, that sounds like a fair resolution.
Okay. Ms. Bandich, any questions?
No, I think that takes care of it. We just don't want to be prejudiced.
Understood. Again, essentially the record will be open for that information should it be necessary later. I wouldn't prohibit you from bringing in relevant information. Obviously, you will have to prove the relevance and if that becomes an issue, but what I'm hearing is that that's not an issue at this time. Okay, thank you both very much. I will probably, just for the record, get a written, very summary order that the motion's denied in the record next week when I return. But otherwise, please, the oral recording for this will be included on the website. So for details of the ruling and our discussion, please rely on that recording.
Thank you for your time.
Okay, thank you both very much.
Thank you.